Over the past few years, multiple towns and cities across Connecticut have begun to install speed cameras. You might have seen one driving around yourself, and they automatically ticket a driver that's caught going too fast. Now, these cameras are typically set up in school zones, other areas that receive frequent complaints about excessive speed. You know, like the hotspots in your town. We all know them. But while local law enforcement has been largely on board with the new technology, residents and local officials have had mixed opinions, Fairfield being really in the spotlight right now. This week in Fairfield, actually just yesterday, Police Chief Michael Paris released a statement to address multiple complaints from Fairfield residents. And this morning, State Senator Tony Wong is going to be holding a press conference to address those concerns. Senator Wong, you're joining me again today. It's always great to hear from you. Thank you for being here.
Absolutely. It's always great to talk to you, John. And this is an extremely important issue and front and center. And let me be clear on this. The data that's been reported in regards to a total of about 114,000 speeding violations in the first 17 days of May, and that's a monthly projection for May to be about 190,000 speeding violations. That, to me,
that's just Fairfield?
Just Fairfield.
That's insane.
Right. So.
I don't mean to laugh, but that's wild.
That there's a monthly projection of about 190,000 speeding violations in excess of 10 miles of the speed limit in the month of May. Now, people are going to react to this, but it is a stunning, but unfortunately not a surprising number to me, because our culture within our communities and local municipal driving is far too speeding and posing risks of danger. Let me be clear.
Yeah.
That number reinforces to me as a policymaker on a statewide basis, as the ranking leader on the Transportation Committee, along in a bipartisan basis, looked at some of these. We're not surprised, but it's truly breathtakingly stunning at these numbers that we have created a culture and a pattern of speeding in our communities that puts motorists, bikers, walkers, pedestrians at risk. And so for me, we passed in 2023 a public act, number 116, yeah, which looked at implementing the Vision Zero program. There is a council that was created with numerous experts in the transportation and pedestrian and roadway safety, and they made some recommendations, and that was proposed in the legislation in Public Act 116 that presented Vision Zero. Vision Zero was taken from many European countries that implemented these kind of proactive and structural changes,
yeah,
to ensure that there is zero fatality on our roads. Unfortunately, Connecticut roads are far too dangerous right now, and we need to reduce the risk of people getting hurt. So I fully supported the Vision Zero language,
yeah,
and that language allows each municipality, because we gave them local input in regards to municipal input, recognizing the unique challenges and unique characteristics of each of the towns. So town officials in that language was allowed to present their proposal in implementation of speed and red light cameras to be able to have the Connecticut Department of Transportation review and then approve it. Fairfield went through that process, picked the locations, implemented the program, the DOT approved it, and here is where we are. In May, there was a test program for 1 month that will send out warnings, but then effective June 1st, it goes into effect and fines will start being issued.
Right. So, you know, so Monday, essentially. Sunday, excuse me. So now this is, you know, my first question to you, Tony, Senator Wong, excuse me. But my first question to you was going to be, what are the biggest complaints you're hearing from constituents? But I feel like now, you know, with the numbers that you just gave me, I think that we got to stop and we got to look at that for a moment, because what you're talking about here, you know, and I think what we all should be talking about is a cultural problem. I'm going to use the word problem because, I mean, if you've got a town the size of Fairfield, and I didn't grow up in Fairfield, but I went to high school there for, you know, 3 years. And if when you're seeing numbers like that, what do you say to when you see numbers like that, but then you hear complaints from constituents? And there have been a lot, you know, I mean, Chief Paris's post yesterday addressed many of them, and you see a lot of them on social media. And goodness knows, Melissa in the morning was fielding a bunch of calls on Tuesday. What do you say to people who are complaining about, you know, the excessive amount of tickets and about the fact that they're getting tickets? But also, what do you say to them when we have this clear problem of just numbers in the hundreds of thousands in 1 month in a town the size of Fairfield? I mean, how do you balance those two things? You know, the complaints and needs of your constituents, but also the reality that this is a little bit out of control, clearly.
John, we have all talked about speeding on our roadways, but these numbers are just stunning. But as I said, they're not surprising, because you talk about Fairfield, a town of 63,000, having these kind of congestion concerns and roadway. But Washington, Connecticut, a small village, had record speeding.
Right.
You got Middletown that had record speeding. The real challenge is we've created a culture of speed as being a kind of part normal in our general daily commutes throughout our general community. And we need to do a far better job. And that's what Vision Zero was intended to do. However, John, it's really important that this came as a shocking surprise for many people.
Yeah,
if
certainly
this is
me.
A program that had been years in the making since 2023, with towns deliberating, evaluating, and I want to commend Chief Paris, because prior to becoming chief, he was a traffic reconstruction professional within the department. So he saw some of the worst in roadway tragedies.
Yeah.
So I agree with him in regards that change and a change in behavior and enforcement needs to occur. But what really has happened is that this was a shock to many people. The shock of somebody who was driving what they thought was normal or maybe 10 speed and above the speed limit to now get a notice that was captured on camera right at their mailboxes and say, you will be fined. This is a warning. The letter was loud and clear.
Mm.
Now, I'll tell you one positive that came out of it is we are now going to see a reduced speeding because of consciousness and awareness as a result of that initial warning. But my biggest challenge is it was a tremendous shock to people's sense of privacy, a sense of enforcement without fully recognizing the communications.
Yeah.
So in one way, my press conference today is not to bash the system, but to raise awareness about the epidemic of speeding and danger on our roads, but also now to inform the public that these programs are being put into place and that we need to be conscious, really, really just super conscious that we speed through our roadways locally without thinking twice.
Yes.
And this is a moment in which, you know, the cameras are going to say, if you're not obeying the law, we're going to make a conscious effort for you to ensure that you respect the limits and the safety of yourself and others on the roadway.
Well, it's a reality check. Exactly. And that's really, I think, what I think just hypothetically, it's got to be the source of a lot of these complaints that we're hearing coming out of Fairfield and other towns, too. I don't want to make it Fairfield specific. Now, Tony, I did want to ask one thing, and you may or may not have this information, but the cameras only activate over 10 miles per hour, right? Or rather, they only issue a ticket over 10 miles per hour. So they generally stick to the accepted rule of like 9, you're fine, 10, you're mine, right? I mean, is that correct? And that's a state statute, isn't it?
No.
Each okay.
town could set their own standards. And that was the intent of the original language was we wanted to give our municipalities. I felt it was important to allow our municipalities to uniquely design the threshold of tolerance so to speak, in regards to miles over the limit, but also in locations and the unique speed that they can charge. Because, believe it or not, it was until 2 or 3 years ago, towns couldn't change speed limits without state authorization.
Mm.
Now we pass legislation and transportation to allow municipalities to dictate their own terms, which I felt was very important. And that's why you had the school zone to 20. But John, I think it's really important that we balance the real need for safety in our roadways.
Yeah.
But I struggle and I sympathize for many of the people who felt as though this was a surprise. And two,
yeah,
that there wasn't effective communications or signage. Because if you drive through the school zone, it is 20 miles, but then the previous section was 30. So people think, and then there's also that time slot that says 20-mile schools in action.
Well,
so
now I do want to
confuse many people.
I do want to
24/7.
Yeah. But see, now that confusion is where I will push back. Not on you necessarily, but on people who are saying, because listen, I mean, Tony, I'm just a talking head on the radio. They're not my constituents, so I got to push back on that. Now, if you're confused because the road is going from a 20 to a 30, and it's not, and the signage isn't proper, that I 100% understand, because that's a town issue. You need to make that change clear. But if you're gonna sit there and say, well, I wasn't aware that I wasn't aware what the speed was and that these cameras were gonna be coming in, listen, I'm around news all day, but this is something that people are talking about. This is stuff that has been happening in Stratford, in Bridgeport, in Stamford, in New Haven. I mean, now New Haven, we're getting outside of Fairfield County, but if you're a resident in Fairfield, surely you knew that this was coming. I do push back slightly against people saying that this was like a big surprise.
Well, I will share with you, it is a surprise, John. Believe it or not,
yeah,
there are a lot of people that just kind of go on, they hear it, but it doesn't really absorb in. What yeah, we're seeing in
fair.
The corresponding days since they've received a warning has been a real wake-up call. And that's a reason for my press conferences, to raise greater awareness for people that it shouldn't be a shock. And I think another critical element that I'm going to bring up is, one of the critical aspects in the original language that we said was there was a real concern, in addition to privacy concerns, it was a revenue source, and that this is another taxation through a mechanism to collect revenue.
That I've heard a lot.
And one of the original and strident terms that we emphasized was that the revenue gain from the fines should not go into a general fund of any municipality. As the police chief articulated, money doesn't go to the police department, so they're not getting the percentages, quote-unquote, based upon volume.
Yeah.
But it's really important that none of this fine in the language was intended to be used beyond anything but roadway safety. Now, we made an addendum that camera cost, retention of data are going to be important, so fines gathered from that can be used toward that. But absolutely no uncertain terms should this revenue source be going into any municipality's general fund. And I think one of the critical problems with Fairfield that raises the concern of many people who feels as though this is a money gouge and
yeah,
it's another way of taking people's money from their pocket through these kind of quote enforcement mechanisms is, why would you put the calculation of fines into the general budget? Now the money for the fines for the bad actors that continue despite the warnings, that money should be used for increased signage, increased education, support programs like the wonderful programs like Flagman that talks about workplace, roadway safety.
Yeah.
It talks about education. So that money needs to be devoted in specifically and only to ensuring that we continue to communicate the message and to change the culture of speeding. Another part that it is important to tell people is, look, part of speeding is the fact that we have such frantic schedules. We need to get from point A to point B in a short time because we're running late. It is important before you get behind the wheel to plan your drive and to give time and space for delays and not be caught up in a time crunch.
Now, you know what's funny too is what I was going to say was, and to be fair, as soon as you get on 95, you know you're going to be stuck in a parking lot anyway, so you got to try to make up that time when you actually can drive fast, cuz you know you're just going to sit and, you know, be stuck, especially if you're working in Fairfield County driving southbound on 95, which so many people do. Now, I mean, that what I was going to ask you next was what needs to change. And, you know, originally when I planned to ask that question, it was going to be from a town perspective. You know, what does Fairfield need to do to adjust? What Fairfield stuff needs to happen? But from all the things you're telling me, and from it being such a systemic problem, you know, here in Connecticut, and I'm sure possibly across the country as well, but just focusing here, it sounds like many things need to change and that those things need to be statewide. I think that, you know, traffic on 95 and the merit does need to be addressed so that people don't feel this anxiety, this panic of, God, I don't know what the highway is going to do to me on my commute today. So I got to make sure I get through all these roads that I can while I can. So I guess with all of that in mind, now changing the scope of my question, what needs to change?
Well, I think the first thing is I need to applaud the courage for individuals to step up and recognize the problem.
Yeah.
I think that's important. When I co-introduced the bill, I knew that we were going to be subject to many people who oppose the idea of surveillance, revenue grab, and constitutional, you know, freedom of rights, and it's materialized when you see that manifest with potential monetary fines.
Mm.
But I think we need to do much, much more with enforcement, combined with vigorous education, awareness, and I really think it's important that we pause the program to be able to continue the education, the awareness, and a gradual enforcement process. And it's not only through the 16 cameras in the school zones, but through many of our roadways that experience excessive speeding.
Yeah.
It needs to be a townwide process, and you're not going to regulate every corner, except that revenue should be dedicated 100% without question to those kind of programs. My concern
I was going to say, just to be clear, you're saying it's not right now. So where is that money going if it's not going to transportation concerns?
Well, the problem is we don't know, but it raises the specter of a revenue grab when you put it into the proposed budget as a revenue source.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
It should never have been put in my opinion, into a budget, because it should not even be confused as a revenue source. It needs to be to a dedicated account outside of the budget that you cannot use it for anything else other than the real need, as we can see by the numbers that I offered, to change and educate and raise awareness. That requires money. And I think the dedication of increased signage, working with GPS systems to give advance warning.
Yeah.
But we haven't even talked about red light cameras that was approved in dangerous intersections.
Right. It's also important that people do understand that those are two different things. I did a story about this in Bridgeport a while back. Yes, speed cameras and red light cameras, two different things. So when you hear that there's, you know, the six cameras across school zones in Fairfield, that's like speed cameras. There are also the red light ones, too.
Correct. John, I want this program to succeed, to save lives, and to create a new culture of understanding our roadways are to be shared and to be safely traversed. And it's going to take a lot, because we didn't get to this overnight. But it's going to have to come with increased awareness, increased consciousness. I'll tell you what this program did in May. It will slow people down, because good people, you're still going to have bad actors. But generally, good people are going to be much more conscious about their speeding through our roadways. But it requires a change in culture, in a mentality, and that's where the fines and revenue should go. Because when you put it into a budget, it raises a specter of people saying, you are making a money grab. And I said to the Commissioner of Transportation, we need to raise this awareness and do this right in each municipality, because if you don't, what other municipalities will adopt this program? They're not going to touch it with a 10-foot pole. It requires tremendous courage, and we get the slings and the arrows of people that are very angry. You've heard that.
Yes.
But I think the other part is, one of the proposals this year in the Transportation Committee was to put speed cameras in our limited access highways.
Oh, gosh. I honestly, Senator, I'm almost scared about opening that can of worms in general, because I have very strong feelings about the idea of putting them on highways.
Right. But the problem is, though, John, if we don't do this right on a municipality, and why rush into it?
Yeah.
I just spoke to the first selectman of Greenwich. They instituted a program. They got feedback. They put a pause to the program so that the RTM governance can review, based upon additional feedback, additional awareness, to craft a program that works toward the goal. The problem I have is the goal doesn't change, but the execution is somewhat flawed. And this alarm, this warning of May, and the number that we looked at, should allow us to say there is a problem. Now, how do we educate and ensure that it's not only those 16 cameras, but through all the roadways in Fairfield for all people who use the roadways are safe? You're not going to be able to do that. And that's why people say it looks like a revenue grab when you're not changing the culture of speeding.
But can I ask, though, what does... And by the way, thank you, by the way. It's 16 cameras. I think I said 6 earlier. Thank you, Senator Wong, for making that correction. But also, can I ask, we say pause. What does a pause look like? Now, is this just let's do another warning month like we did in May? Or is this are we talking about starting from the ground up, like rebuilding the whole thing, like getting rid of the program for a set amount of time? Like, what does pause mean?
Well, I think pause needs to give time to kind of reassess and evaluate the program. I think the chief even talked about it in his statement. I want to commend the chief, Michael Paris, for his remarkable leadership in this. And he's absolutely right. This is nothing political.
No.
This is about, I mean, there was a bipartisan passage of the Public Act, Envision Zero. And I'm going to get some slings and arrows for it. I did endure it during debate. But the reality is, we need to change that narrative. We need to change the conversation and not say to people, we're going to impose this through penalties and fines, but rather we need to change the culture of courtesy, respect, and safety on our roadways. But when I say a pause is, why implement it in June 1st after we've got this avalanche of data points and the numbers? And it raises the suspicion that if you're doing it on June 1st, are you looking at it as a revenue source of a budgetary session? Why not wait and put increased enforcement mechanisms to be able to let people know in a trial basis that lasts for the summer months for many people that are from out of town that come into the great town of Fairfield for the beaches and the community, that we raise the awareness through public messaging, through the use of being able to inform and change the culture of speeding? I think that is a much more effective, pragmatic, and ultimately a more sustainable. Why are we in a rush? Greenwich paused it.
Yeah.
Fairfield's through its leaders in a municipal basis, and I'm not telling them what to do, but I think in order for the program to succeed, thrive, and meet its goals and be more sustainable, we need now to take that data point and that message that's being raised in an uproar to be able to manage it, learn from it, and develop a better program so that people do indeed ultimately slow down on our roadways.
So, Senator, and I know that I've kept you for a while now, and I really do appreciate your time. But I do want to quickly just play devil's advocate to that for a second, because it does seem, I understand what you're saying, that you know, use this money for a public education campaign. Use this money to address existing problems that are on the road already, instead of adding a new factor of these cameras. That does make perfect sense. But it does occur to me that the logical counterpoint to that argument is, no, now we see that we have this massive problem that you one could say is slightly out of control. Now is not the time to pause this program. Now is the time to implement this program and really hit people, you know, in their wallets and really de-incentivize the population from putting up these massive numbers of speeding month after month. What do you say to people who would feel that way instead?
I appreciate your viewpoints, and you're right. There is a rush to make this happen, and your statement is absolutely some of the sentiments of the terrific advocates of this.
Sure.
But here's the problem. You only have six zones or six schools, 16 cameras. So guess what people are going to do, John? They're going to bypass those cameras.
Yeah.
Other roadways. And speed through. It doesn't change the culture of speeding.
That's actually a great.
Right?
That's actually a great counterpoint. That's a great
people
point.
Have already devised alternative route plans. The two major thoroughfares that's most heavily recorded is down Umpqua for people taking the train, and they're rushing to try to catch. It's not an excuse, but guess what? They're going to go down another route.
That's true, but that other route...
And Jefferson?
But that other route does take them away. That other route does take them away from Ludlow, though. You know what I mean? Now we're getting very inside baseball about the town of Fairfield. But, like, you know, there is also the argument that, okay, let them take the other route. That other route's away from a school, right?
But, John, it doesn't change the ultimate goal.
No, it does not.
Which is to reduce the epidemic and the standardization and norm of speeding through all of our other roadways.
Yeah.
I'm like a kind of a Debbie Downer when, you know, we're driving through our streets and I see someone flying by me. And I've seen that firsthand.
Right.
When I'm campaigning door to door and you're walking, 30 miles is fast. 55 is even faster.
Really
so,
fast.
So the reality is, John, your devil's advocate would say, why not impose it right now? But the reality is, people are going to resist when you tell them. It's like you're going to punish me? I'm going to beat you on this. Rather than recognizing, as I'm getting from people as we begin this conversation, when I share the numbers and we have this kind of dialogue, that people now say, you know what? I can do better on our roadways. I can plan before I have to get to point A to point B so that I'm not running 10 minutes late, and I'm always running late. So we're all guilty of it sometimes, that you got to get to one place or another, and traffic develops, and you're scampering. The reality is we need to change the culture and the norm of speeding through our roadways, and that immediate enforcement on specific zones doesn't solve and create a sustainable solution. I see this as a great opportunity, as I said, is to be able to have that conversation, pause it, and say, how can we create a more sustainable, a comprehensive, and change of culture and mindset? That is how we can succeed with this program. And ultimately, you know, putting that penalty and saying, bad, 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 and we're gonna fine you. And the other problem is we're using a third-party vendor that's out of state that collects a percentage of these fines. And the utilization of AI technology and the devil in the details in all this. And I'm going to commend my police department again. They are bearing the load of this.
Oh, yes. No, I mean, in terms of complaints, absolutely. And also, you know, I mean, for the third party and people who complain, things have to be paid for. Like, if you're going to have this, someone's got to pay for it. And, you know, I mean, if the ticket money is going to pay for it, that does make logical sense to me.
But people are emotional on this.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It makes,
oh, yeah.
And they look at it as a money grab when I think the agreement was 15% of 15 cents of every dollar in the fines goes to them to maintain the program. Okay, maintain the program. But it, again, goes back to awareness, education, removing the misinformation and the naysayers that just don't like the program and don't like the idea of being surveilled. But they can fix that problem by being safe on our roadways and driving within the speed limits to ensure safety on the roadways. That's a way to do it. But how do we get people to change their mindset? Not by enforcement and the heavy hammer, but by reinforcing and education. And I think that when the pause occurs is a great opportunity to have that continue, that education continue. I know another part of that legislation in Vision Zero was to increase awareness about substance use and speeding in our education, driver education programs. The youngest and newest drivers now understand and are much more aware of some of the enforcement mechanisms. That's how we change the culture in many facets. So I'm proud of being able to co-introduce, Public Act 23-116, and I'm willing to withstand the slings and the arrows, but ultimately we need to implement a system that is sustainable and respectful of the dynamics of real life and not just in a hypothetical ideal implementation.
I mean, that is the most important conversation when we talk about this. And I appreciate you bringing that conversation on the show today, Senator. I appreciate you giving me as much time as you did. I really do. State Senator Tony Wong held, I should say, because this will air after your press conference is done, but held a press conference earlier today talking about, you know, speed cameras statewide, but also addressing specifically complaints from people in the town of Fairfield. Thank you so much for your time.
John, thank you, and thank you for the great work that you do.
Oh, absolutely. You're listening to The Download on The Voice Connecticut, WICC.